This is episode number 383 with the incredibly inspiring Jen Bricker.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
It is another beautiful day here in Los Angeles, and I'm so glad that you showed up to listen to me wherever you are in the world. The thing I love about this podcast is that it attracts so many inspiring people like yourself, people on a journey to really tap into what that is that they were born with, that they want to bring out to the world, that greatness inside of you. There's so many of you all over the world. And I just love getting the messages from you guys over on social media, the emails you send me, all the messages everywhere that you're listening to it when you post photos, listening to it all over the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's just an amazing, inspiring day. So I am pumped because we have an incredible guest today. Her name is Jen Bricker. That's right, Jen Bricker. And she is, wow, what a gem. Had a lot of fun. Make sure you watch the full video interview back at the show notes of this one, lewishowes.com/383, to see some fun video footage of us doing some hand-to-hand handstands. She's doing a handstand on my hands in the air. And for those that don't know, Jen is a aerialist, a gymnast, a speaker, and an author who was born without legs and given up for adoption at birth. There are small portions of her incredible story that have been featured on numerous shows like HBO Real Sports, ABC's 2020, Good Morning America, and in over 100 countries worldwide. She traveled with Britney Spears' world tour and appeared as the headliner at the prestigious Palazzo Hotel in Las Vegas, Lincoln Center in New York City, and Shangri-La Hotel in Dubai. And wow, we really got to dive in deeper about her entire story, about the struggles she went through, about how she actually became so positive and so confident early on, even though she was born without legs. And some of the things we talk about are what advice Jen would give to parents whose kids have insecurities, are going through any type of struggles. She gives some incredible advice there. If she could go back and choose to have legs, she answers if she would. Jen's biggest insecurity growing up, and it's not what you think. The incredible story of Jen finding out about her biological sister and her parents, and the mindset that allows you to pursue your dreams no matter what the circumstance or what the obstacle ahead. If you feel like things are challenging for you right now, this is a great interview to listen to give you that boost. Also, a couple quick things to mention. The audio, unfortunately, on this, for some reason, had a little glitch. So we had to retrieve the audio from the cameras itself. So it doesn't sound as crisp as your normal School of Greatness quality, which is my fault, and I apologize. But it's still good quality. You're going to be able to hear everything, but just wanted to give you a heads up. So you no need to let me know because I already am aware. And let me know how you guys think about this interview. If you're listening right now, share it with your friends. lewishowes.com/383. And without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Jen Bricker.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Welcome everyone back to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got a great guest in today, Jen Bricker. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. You've got a new book out called Everything is Possible, Finding the Faith and Courage to Follow Your Dreams. So make sure you guys go pick this up right now. Awesome book. A story about how you've overcome so much challenge and adversity in your life and created an incredible life for yourself. So congratulations on everything you've done. And it's very cool to see the success, see that HBO Sports is talking about you, ABC, People Magazine, ESPN, everyone's sharing your story now. You have a very unique story. So I want to dive into that and tell us a little bit about who you are, but kind of what happened early on to get you where you're at now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, my entire life has, I feel like, prepared me for all the things that I was meant to do and that I'm doing now, and the things that I'm going to continue to do. So started with me being put up for adoption. I mean, that's where it all started. And so
how old were you?
I was born and then left in the hospital the day I was born. Yes.
It just blows my mind that someone would do that.
Well, I mean, everyone has, I don't know, everyone has different, things going on in their lives. And my biological parents were from Romania. They grew up under communism. It's, you have to just understand.
Different beliefs and different,
totally mindset. Totally different mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not how we see things or think. And so, very different. And so I was left there, and then I was in foster care for 3 months in foster home.
And why did they leave you?
I think there's a lot of different reasons. I was born without legs, so there's that reason. They thought there might be more medical bills. They already had a daughter. They were still, you know, there's the poor immigrants from Romania.
And this is in the United States?
This is in the United States. And
what city? Or
I was born in Illinois, Salem, Illinois.
Salem, Illinois.
And so there was a multitude of reasons. Yes, it was because I didn't have legs, but it was also many other reasons. And some of the things I think maybe I just will never know because I was there that day, but not that I remember,
Exactly.
And really, you know, it's amazing because I, my parents adopted me when I was 3 months old.
So you were in the hospital until you were three or?
Nope. 3 months. So I was in a foster, foster home for 3 months.
Wow.
Then my parents adopted me.
So someone's taking care of you as the first 3 months of your life.
Yes.
Foster home.
Yes. My first name was actually Holly Ann. That was my name. No way. My first 3 months of my life. So, yeah, they were great people. Nana and Papa is what I called them. We called them, who had me in the foster home. And they were just really, like, really good people, really warm and beautiful. And they loved me. And they took pictures from, you know, what every day so that my parents could see the first 3 months. And I had my
adopted parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They didn't know they were adopted until.
Well, it was amazing. My mom had three boys, my three brothers, and she couldn't have kids anymore. She had to have a hysterectomy. So she always wanted to be a girl, though. And she prayed for 10 years, just kept never giving up and wanting a girl. It's like, I just feel like I'm supposed to have a girl. I feel like I'm supposed to have four kids and I want a girl. And she heard about this girl that was born without legs, who was put up for adoption, who needed a home. And that was it. She just was like, oh, yep, I think that's my daughter. And talked to my dad about it, talked to my brothers, and, you know, they were on board, and it was really cool because they sat my brothers down individually and asked them, you know, what would it mean to you to have a sister without legs? How would you feel?
Yeah.
All these questions. My older brother, you know, you're going to be dating in a couple years. What if you bring a date home and she has a problem with it or something like that? And the amazing thing is, at 10, 12, and 14 years old, they all three answered the same, and they said, if anyone has a problem with her, then I don't want them in my life anyway.
That's cool.
And I thought, man, that's so cool. Yeah. You know, it's really special. And so they adopted me and just raised me totally normal.
Yeah.
You know, really just beyond that, you know, jumping
figure things out, just do, you know, get messy.
Get messy, hang with the boys, do all the sports you want to do, played softball, basketball, volleyball, power tumbling, all against able-bodied athletes.
Amazing. There's photos of you in the book playing softball and all these other things, and it was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, the first set of doctors told my parents I'd never be able to sit up on my own. So, an entire team of doctors said that I would be confined to this device that was going to, I basically sit down in and it would hold me upright.
You know, stomach muscles or something?
Right. So weird. And my parents were just like, no way. Like, we don't, that's not what we want for her. And took me to the Shriners Hospital, and the doctor there said, she's going to do things that are going to blow your mind beyond your wildest imagination. And that just set the tone for the way my parents raised me.
And this is in Illinois, too?
Yep, Southern Illinois, small town, middle of nowhere.
Where is it?
Oblong. You've never heard of it.
Is it how far from St. Louis?
3 hours.
Okay. I went to school in a small town called Elsa, Illinois.
Okay.
Which is near Alton, Illinois.
I've heard of Alton.
It's like on the Mississippi River.
You're on the other side. Okay. Yeah. I grew up on the Indiana border.
Gotcha.
So other side. About 2 hours from Indy.
Sure. Yeah. We're both from the Midwest. I'm from Ohio.
Okay.
So,
all right. That's cool.
Yeah. That's good people from the Midwest.
Good, solid meat potatoes.
That's it, exactly.
Seriously.
But now we're in LA, so it's like juice and veggies all day, right? It's like vegan, cafe gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Veggies, everything.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is probably a lot healthier for me.
My brothers still call me Hollywood because I eat avocado.
Right.
where does that come from?
Exactly.
I love avocado.
I know. Amazing. So, okay, you grew up in Illinois the whole time then, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your family.
Yeah. And
We're doing all these sports, these activities. What was it like going into, I'm assuming you went to public school, right? Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
School, I mean, you know, middle of nowhere, very small town. Okay. So, you know, past the first day of kindergarten when everyone finds out, oh, okay, well, she was just born without legs. It's not
that's
really,
cool.
nobody cares.
No one was like,
nobody cares.
That's nice.
You know, because it's a small school and we all know each other. And I was always very outgoing and very fiery and just always been this person, which is really kind of interesting. Writing through my book and going through the process and talking to teachers from when I was younger, it really showed me that I've always been this person. It's kind of really fascinating, actually. Mm-hmm. My teachers were like, no, literally on day one of kindergarten, you were doing your thing. Like, it didn't matter what anyone else was doing. You've always been this person. And I was just like, man, that's so fascinating. Because sometimes you kind of think you come into who you are, or maybe you've been shaped by different things. And of course, you know, we are on some level. But to really see how strongly I've always been this person, it was really kind of cool and interesting to figure that out. But no, in school, I mean, I was just always a social butterfly. I was always an athlete. I was very strong. And so, thankfully there, you know, bullying was not a part of my story.
That's nice.
So that, but, you know, it is part of my story that not being bullied is part of my story, because being adopted, my parents were, like, the least likely people on the planet to adopt me. They never adopted, never fostered, you know, didn't know anything about, quote, disability. And, I mean, they were 40, 42. I mean, everything was against them. But it just shows you, like, I ended up exactly where I was supposed to be, because I had to be in that community, in that family, in that area, in order to grow and be allowed to become who I'm supposed to be, you know, be able to blossom fully so that I can do all this stuff now, so that I can do everything that I'm meant to do for the rest of my life. It needed to be that way.
Right. Yeah. So did you ever feel like you had limits then? Since you weren't bullied, you were accepted, you were, you know, had good friends, you were athletic. Did you feel like limited, or was it just because you always knew this is who you were? You know, it's not like you lost something at a certain age and you're like, oh, I can no longer walk or I can no longer do something.
Exactly. That's a very, those are two totally different stories.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. So for me, I was just raised very empowered, and I was always hearing, like, you're strong, you're beautiful, you're an answered prayer, we wanted you. I mean, you know, so when you hear that, that's what you believe. Right. I mean,
so you didn't have these insecurities necessarily.
No, not.
You have normal insecurities. We all have.
Exactly. Of course, I had all the normal girl insecurities.
Am I good enough? Am I, you know,
how's my hair, my eyebrows, my, you know. One of my biggest insecurities, actually, was the fact that I was always so muscular. I had, like, all
this,
you know.
Yeah.
So that, that actually was, even into my adult life, one of, like, these huge insecurities, and then being on TV where they want to always shoot you from the side angle, which is the worst, and my arms look huge, and I'm like, no, just put me straight on angle, please. And that was, and I talk, you know, a lot about body image and stuff in the book that I've never really talked about, but body image from a standpoint of totally being a female living in LA in the entertainment
industry.
That, you know, so it's interesting because I didn't have a hang-up about not having legs, but I had hang-ups about all these other things. And you think, how can you be okay with not having legs, but then how do you be hung up on the fact that you have muscular arms? Yet that was such a thing for me. And so it's just funny how we kind of, you know, have all these different things, but growing up, it's just, I just didn't understand how different I was because I wasn't treated like that anywhere.
That's great.
At school and sports, at home. You know, it just wasn't like that. And I really think I was protected in a lot of ways. And again, it was supposed to be that, like, it had to be that way. I couldn't grow up in LA or New York or things like that. It just, I would have had such.
Couldn't have blessed people.
Had their priorities straight, you know? Yeah.
Amazing. Now, this is the crazy story is you're a big gymnastics fan and you realize that you had a sister who was, you know, one of the best in the world. But how did this even come about? Like, how did you realize, like, oh, that's my sister on TV in the Olympics?
Right. I watched her as a kid.
Yes.
And
You're talking about Dominique, right?
Yes, Dominique Moceanu. So I watched her when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I think is when I first saw her. Uh-huh. And I always loved gymnastics. We as a family love gymnastics. We love watching it on TV.
Yes.
And then I see her one day. And I just thought she was so cool, you know. I thought,
I remember loving her too. I was like, I don't even like gymnastics, but I liked her.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. It was really, really cool. It was well, and I knew she was Romanian, and I knew I was Romanian, and I was always so proud of that I was Romanian because I grew up. There was really no diversity and no culture, so I didn't have anyone that looked like me. Number one, I had like tons of thick hair, big eyes. I was really tan growing up. I was always outside. So I just really didn't look like anyone where I grew up in the middle of nowhere. So the fact that someone looked like me and was Romanian was, that was kind of everything for me as a kid.
Sure.
So that really drew me to her on those levels as a kid. And then right before I turned 16, I was talking to my best friend at the time. She was also adopted. She found out what her biological last name would have been. And there was just this spark that went off in my brain. And I said, I wonder if there's anything that my mom and dad know about my biological family that I don't know about. And the fact that I thought that is, that thought was placed in my brain. Because there is no reason I would have to, why would I think my parents would keep, like, would know something? They were so open and so.
They told you everything.
Transparent. Yeah, I knew I was adopted from day one. I knew I was Romanian. I knew probably I was put up for adoption because I didn't have legs. I mean.
Did they tell you who the parents were? Or
no.
Didn't
no,
say
because
that?
They didn't. I mean, no, it was supposed to be a closed adoption. There's a lot of, like, miracle things that happen in order for this to go down.
Right.
So, my mom.
So they didn't know necessarily.
Not, I mean, okay, so it was supposed to be a closed adoption, which means all of the legal information is supposed to be blacked out. So you don't see anything or know anything. Well, when I was adopted, the social worker had all the adoption papers, and she's, like, literally, she was like, well, these are supposed to all be blacked out. That's weird. Oh, well, here you go.
Oh.
And gives my parents all of the legal documents.
All your original parents, your biological parents' information.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, all my adoption information to my parents.
Huh.
So when I'm watching TV one day, they pan to the audience and they show Dimitri and Camille Moceanu. And a light bulb goes off in my mom's head. And she's like, man, that sounds really familiar. She goes and gets all the adoption papers. And that's when she starts doing the math. And she's like, wait a minute, Dimitri, Camille, Romanian, sibling 6 years older. And she just starts doing math. And that's how she discovered it. And so, but, you know, I was 8. Dominique then went through this whole public emancipation publicly.
You were 8 when you found out?
When my mom found out.
When she found out?
I didn't find out. No. I was too young, that's what I'm saying. So I was too young.
She didn't tell you at the time.
Right. Was too young for them to tell me. Dominique had been going through this public emancipation with her parents. So that was like a lot of turmoil. And
she was 14 then?
She was 17.
17.
And so that, I mean, she was so young at that time. So my parents just didn't think it was the right time.
Sure.
And also, I wasn't technically supposed to know legally until I was 18 because it was supposed to be post-adoption.
Yes.
But then when I came and asked them specifically
at 16, okay.
Almost 16, they weren't going to lie.
Right, right.
So that's how the whole thing.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So when you were 16, almost 16, that's when you started thinking about it.
I just asked if they knew anything. It just happened like that. It wasn't like I had been, that's the thing, I had never cared my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I was happy. They were open about it all, so I was okay. I don't really need to know anything about it. Then one day, that thought just comes in. I go home, ask my mom, anything you know about my biological family? She says yes to my surprise. I find out Dominique's my sister. And I'm just like,
what?
Yeah. Crazy. It is crazy.
So you're 16 almost, and she's 9 years older, is that right?
Or 6 years older.
6 years older, so she's 21, right, 22. And what was the next step? Did you say, I need to reach out to her, or I need to...
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wanted...
She was already, like, not in touch with her parents anymore. They kind of, like, disowned her, or what?
Well, she emancipated. So, basically, divorced her parents.
Right,
that's what
right,
they
right,
technically,
yeah.
Emancipation, the term is.
Crazy.
At 17. So, but, I mean, she did legally at that time, but it's not like she was completely disconnected from the rest of her life. It was just for a period of time, I think, and whatnot. So,
isn't it funny that they let you go and she let them go? It's like karma almost, or something.
It's amazing how I was spared. I mean, I was really spared from being raised with that family. Not that I wouldn't have, you know. And once I found out Dominique was my sister, I also found out I had another sister. So I have a younger sister, Christina.
Nope.
They both were raised together. And, you know, Christine and I look like twins. We're a year and 10 months apart.
Wow.
I mean, it's bizarre. So I immediately wanted them to know that I existed.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to let them know they had another sister out there. And my uncle, my dad's brother, is a private investigator. So that was very helpful and convenient. And I told him, I said, hey, I really want you to go about this the right way, professionally, all of that. So can you contact my biological parents? And so we were all pretty much expecting them to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't give up a child. Yeah, yeah. Like, whatever. Leave, you know? But they didn't. I mean, they didn't deny it. I think they were still in shock. Just kind of like, how did you find us? It was supposed to be closed, that kind of thing. And, but after that initial phone conversation with my uncle, there were no, there was no more, interaction. Like, they were silent. So it was clear they didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to still keep me a secret.
Your parents.
My biological parents. So yeah, I mean, and then I was like, okay, so that was my first day of the tent. And then I saw that Dominique was on this tour, and I was like, oh, okay, she's going to stop in Indianapolis. I'm going to somehow get there and find her and let her know. And I was 17 at the time. And
she was on like a speaking tour? Or
no,
tour?
A gymnastics tour. Yeah, with
still the performing, like other a Kellogg's tour or something.
Oh, yeah, it was like a competition thing, yeah. And so I went and was going to go buy the tickets, and right before I bought the tickets, I got an email from her website saying that she had a blowout, she had an injury. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, so this is my second failed attempt. And then I, you know, time fast forwards, I moved to Orlando, I start working at Disney World, my whole life changes, I'm, you know, just inundated with new, beach, guys from all over the world, you know, just like new things in my life. And then towards the end of 2007, the thoughts of meeting my biological family just started overwhelming my thoughts. I was dreaming about it. I just couldn't stop thinking about it.
You just had to make it happen.
So that was that was a sign. I was like, all right, this is my third and final shot. This is going to happen. So, yeah, I was like, all right, this is going to work. And, so, put together a letter. I copied pictures from when I was a baby until I was 20, which that was the age I was at, because we looked so much alike, especially my younger sister and I. And then I had my parents mail me the legal documents for my adoption, so she knew it wasn't crazy.
Right.
And then I packaged it up, my heart and soul in there, and set it out.
Sent it to the parent, your original parents, or your
Dominique.
And your younger sister?
Well, I sent it to Dominique because I didn't have... My uncle had found Dominique's information for me.
Sure.
And Dominique was older, so she was of age. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure went through being who was older first. And I knew, obviously, she would tell my younger sister.
Right.
So I did that, waited for 2 weeks, which was the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Must have been so hard.
It was. I mean, towards the end of the 2 weeks, I had to kind of prepare myself for...
Oh, maybe she's not going to respond.
Exactly. Yeah. What if she's not going to... What if they don't respond? What if they don't want you in your life? What if it's not going to be your happy ending?
Ooh.
And that was tough. I mean, I started to get discouraged. And I mean, towards the end of the 2 weeks, I'm like, okay. Because if I would have gotten that, I would have responded, like, the next day. And are you kidding me?
I got a sister.
I got a what? And I'm like, 2 weeks? What is... What? She's not... Okay, she's probably just not going to respond at this point. Because, I mean, geez, 2 weeks, you know? But right before Christmas 2007, I got a letter in the mail. And it was from Dominique. And, you know, this is... Mind you, this is not just 2 weeks. At this point, this is 4 years. Okay. 4 years since I found out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wanted to make sure that it was done right. I wanted to make sure that it was handled right and with finesse.
4 years.
So 4 years, right?
That'd be tough.
It's a long time. And then I finally get the letter, and then I'm like, well, what if it says, you know, what if it's not happy? What if they don't, let's say, get out of here. Yeah. Exactly. So I just had to open it up like a Band-Aid moment and just read it. And then I got to the middle of the letter, and she said that I was about to be an auntie.
Wow.
And so... I was like, okay, I guess I made it in the family then, you know? They've accepted me, and the letter was beautiful, you know? It was just a full acceptance, and I got flowers the next day from both my sisters.
Oh, my gosh.
And a vase. I still have the vase, you know, next to my bed. And then we all met in May of 2008, so about 5 months after that.
Yeah. Where?
In Ohio, Cleveland.
No way.
Yeah.
See?
Wow. It was.
Good things happened there. Amazing. What was the, why Cleveland? Why Ohio? Why?
Dominique lives there. So my younger sister and I.
She lives there now?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
It's even better.
Yep. My younger sister and I flew there because, you know, we were living in apartments and she had a house. So it just made sense to fly where there's the most love and space.
Sure. Where was your younger sister
living? My younger sister's in Texas, in Houston.
Okay, cool.
That's where she lives. So we're all three in different states, different time zones.
And what about your biological parents?
So I met my biological... Well, my biological father passed before I could meet him.
Oh.
But, you know, before he died, he wanted to meet me, which I thought was really cool. And I don't know, there's something, like, really cool about that for me.
Nice.
And I thought that was really awesome. And so then I met Camelia, my biological mother, in January of 2010, and I met her.
A couple years later.
Yes, later. So I established my sister's relationship first, and then met her. Because it's just different, you know? Yeah. It's just a totally different...
No judgment from your sisters. There's no, weirdness or messiness. It's like, they didn't do anything.
Right. They didn't know. They don't feel like what she would feel like.
They didn't know either, did they?
No, they didn't know. No.
That's insane.
Yeah, so meeting her was slow motion and chameleon.
Yeah.
And, but it was, it was good. I mean, after I met her, the next day my parents drove in, and me, my parents, Camelia, her new husband, and my sisters and my brother-in-law, we all had dinner together.
Wow.
Which was really cool. You know, it was like my world's coming together.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool for me. And my parents made sure that they told Camelia, hey, you know, we don't hold anything against you. We never have.
Right.
And they raised me to not hold any unforgiveness or bitterness.
Or resentfulness.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bottom line, they're like, listen, bottom line, it really doesn't matter why they gave you up, because this is how it was supposed to work.
Yeah.
And look what I dodged. Like, I dodged a life of abuse and... turmoil.
Unhappiness, and who knows what would have happened.
I know. I mean, I wouldn't have been provided the life and the childhood that I was, obviously. I mean, that's an obvious one. And so, even though my sisters and I would have liked to have been raised together, we all agree. I mean, it's, you know, it had to happen that way for me. I really need to be out of that so I can be who I am, you know, today.
Do you have a good relationship with your sisters still?
Yeah, you know, we work on it like anything, and they're both married, they both have kids. My younger sister just had a kid.
Wow.
And so they do their own thing, and we each have busy lives, and we're each in different states, different time zones. So it's not easy. I mean, you have to really kind of really try to make it work, and I travel all the time. So it's really hard for me, too. I'm emotionally exhausted. I'm just tired, or, you know, 15-hour time difference, or in a country that... you can't use social media, or, you know, so it's just, it's not exactly the easiest, but like family occasional. My sister had her baby shower, and when she had his baptism, we flew to Texas for that, so we kind of all meet up, and so, you know, different things like that bring us together.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow. What about Camelia?
And
you talk to her now and then, or no?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to her every now and then, and it's just a different relationship, obviously.
Sure.
And I think she has a lot of her own healing and things to go through that it's just going to take a bit longer for her.
Of course. Amazing. I'm so impressed. It just blows my mind, this story. I can't fathom myself, so it's amazing to see what you've created for your life and your dreams and making everything come true for yourself with this experience. Mm-hmm. So it's really powerful. I'm just like blown away.
Thank you.
I don't know how I would react to any of these things if it were me. So it's blowing away how strong you are.
Thank you. It's you know, been a whole bunch of people pouring into me my entire life. And that's what I kind of made in the book, was I highlighted all those people who, you know, the point is I didn't get where I'm at today because of myself, and oh, aren't I so awesome, this was a solo adventure. It's because people since I was adopted have poured into me and encouraged me and strengthened me and loved on me, loved on me from the beginning. And that's why I am where I am.
What would you say to parents who, what advice would you give parents with any kids who have, you know, any type of insecurity? Because although they may not have been born without legs, I think a lot of children go through insecurities, go through uncertainties, beat ourselves up as kids, and beat ourselves up as adults. But what advice would you give to parents in general on how to love their child, no matter what is going on with their child? Because it sounds like your parents just loved you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I'm impressed by is they allowed me to be who I already was, like who I was meant to be, which that might sound kind of easy, but think about, that's not easy, because all my friends' parents that I knew, they always tried to make them some, like, you need to be in football, you need to be in gymnastics, you need to be in piano. So it's pushing their own dreams on their kids, right? And it's not, most of the time, I don't even think it's they don't even mean anything by it. They're just wanting to, like, they think they're helping their kid, right? So they think that. And my parents, by doing that, they gave me my own mind. That is everything. That has translated 100% into me as an adult because it gave me the confidence to make my own decisions. That, I mean, so many people to this day that I know can't be confident in making their own decision. They have to ask 30 people, and then they're spinning around. They don't know what to do because they gave this advice and that person gave that advice. And I don't know. I mean, I'm insecure. Like, I can't be confident enough in my own decision. So I don't know. And then you don't move forward. Then you move backwards. You stand still, which is the worst. That all starts as a kid because they let me make mistakes. That's huge because then when you make your own decisions and even if you succeed or if you fail, you're confident in the fact that, hey, I made my own decision. Like, I can stand on my own 2 feet. I can do this.
Yeah.
But that didn't start when I was 10 or 15.
Right.
That started from the beginning.
Amazing.
You know, my parents showed me in school, the school system wanted to assign this aide with me to go around everywhere with me, carry my bags, you know, leave from class to class with me, go up and down the stairs. My parents were like, listen, this cannot happen. She's going to be independent. Yeah. She's going to figure out how to carry her bags and go up and down all the stairs in the 3 to 5 minute window to every class, just like everyone else.
There's no elevators, right?
There's no elevators. No. My school was built in 1912.
So how are you getting
up? 4 floors. I was walking up and down the stairs. Just like everyone else.
Amazing.
My backpack or my messenger bag. And they're like, well, what if she gets her finger stepped on? I was like, then she's allowed to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, because this is life. You don't seclude somebody in a bubble.
Wow.
I mean, and they also didn't say, like, when I came to them and said, I want to do all the sports that I did, softball, basketball, volleyball, power tumbling, even roller skating, I said I wanted to do. And you're like, well, what are you going to do with, what are you going to do with roller skates? You don't have feet. Instead of telling me all the reasons why I couldn't do it, why it was too dangerous, why it was too fragile, why it was too hard, they're like, okay, well, then we'll put the skates on your hands. We'll figure it out. And that's what I did.
That's cool.
So it's, you know, don't make your kids afraid of trying new things. Mm-hmm. Don't stop them from a love or, like, I had an obsession with me. I wanted to be a mermaid. I wanted to be a fairy. I wanted the seashell bra. I wanted the pink hair. I loved all these fantasy and fairy tale things. And my parents, they didn't just tolerate it. They celebrated that. They loved that I had this imagination. And that might sound like, okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? Because I think so many people, we all know what our dreams and goals and our passions are. It's because we knew it as a kid. But that's when they get shut down. Oh, don't be silly. Those things aren't real. So, and so, okay, of course, mermaids and fairies aren't real, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that you're crushing the imagination from the beginning. Then that translates into an adult who's settling for a mediocre life. I don't mean to be so, like, crass about it, but a lot of times I feel like that's what it is. And then they think, oh, my passion is stupid and childish, so it can't possibly be my job. I can't live a life like that. That's for those people. No, I think everyone can do that. I think I have seen the most creative people turn the most unbelievable things into full-time jobs, and they're so happy because they're doing what they love, and they're bringing their gift to the world, and that's how they can touch someone. I mean, this is my soapbox. I have many, but still, it's like, that's not just an easy answer. Sorry.
Sure, no, it's great. I love it.
Yeah.
What do you feel like you were born to do?
Wow. Well, I think I was born to do a lot of things. I think if there's like one kind of statement, it's really I was born to be who I am. I was born to be myself. And that is in performing as an aerialist and an acrobat. That is in being a speaker. That is in being an author. That is in being in fitness and health, nutrition, advocate for clean living, clean eating. Adoption, you know, total advocate for adoption, obviously. And travel, you know, like, it's amazing to me what people will find as an inspiration. I've been to, like, 14 countries so far, which, that's awesome, but I want to go to, you know, way more. But people just think they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, that's so inspiring. I'm so afraid to travel, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's inspiring to you?
Yeah, right.
You know, and then they'll say other things like, oh my gosh, it's so inspiring that you work out all the time and that you're in shape. And I'm like, why is that inspiring? Like, there are just things that I don't understand that are inspiring. So I just kind of came to that. I'm like, wow, I'm really just meant to continually be who I am, like standing strong in who I am, being confident in who I am and going into all these avenues, you know, in the beauty avenue, doing modeling stuff, doing all these things where, because I'm so used to me, I don't get it. I'm glad I don't get it either, by the way. I don't want to see myself like that. But it is inspiring people, and not only just in one field. That's what's exciting. It's women, it's tweens, it's the adoption crowd, it's the athletes, it's the performers, it's, you know, it's all these, you know, male athletes, female athletes, younger, older, family stories, sisters, all of that stuff, so that so many people, not only in our country, but in other countries, can be touched and everyone takes different things away from it.
Yeah. What would you say is missing from your life right now?
Well, I want to get married and have kids at some point. I think I'm going to be a great wife and be a great mom. Not like, oh, I'm boosting my ego. Just, I think I'm at a place where I'm kind of like, I can offer that now. You know, I can love on someone. I can put my time into them, put my heart into that. And then, you know, I've been an aunt since I was 10 years old. I've been around kids my whole life. Yeah. So I also think, one day, you know, I would like to be a mom and like to have a couple, but I'd also love to adopt. I'd like to do both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, I feel like how could I not? I mean, it changed my life.
Yeah.
How amazing to change someone else's life in that way where, you know, my life was going to go left and then it took a hard right and for the better. Yeah. It's like, I want to be able to do that for a couple kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. Have you found the guy?
No, I found many guys, but not
the one who's right yet.
Not the right one. I mean, I've met so many beautiful people on my travels.
Isn't it amazing? I love human beings.
Gosh dang it.
I love people. I love to love people.
I do too.
Just everyone. It's so much fun.
I really, that's the Midwest in me, first of all.
Yeah.
But that's in me too.
Sure.
But no, I mean, I've, you know, my lifestyle has made dating a bit challenging.
Sure.
I mean, not only my lifestyle, but also my life in general and kind of what comes along with me. So I've, you know, met these amazing men and really have nothing bad to say about them. Just I knew that they weren't the right ones.
The right ones or the right timing or whatever, yeah.
Or the right geography. Halfway around the world.
Of course.
Time and time again. So,
of course,
but that's something that's definitely a desire that day it'll happen.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for a good guy.
Thank you.
A good Midwestern guy.
You know, it helps.
Exactly. If you could go back and choose to have legs, would you do it?
People ask me that all the time as a kid. And I thought about it. I wanted, as a kid, I'm like, no, I want to really give a good answer. Like, I want to give an authentic answer. And so I thought about it for a while, like for days. And I thought, and I always come to the conclusion, no, because I knew that I was born like this. And if I hadn't been born like this, then my whole identity and purpose would not be, like, I wouldn't be doing what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the platform that I have today to reach millions of people.
Right. Yeah.
Without being born without legs.
Yeah.
So it would be, I could say yes, and it would be very selfish. I mean, I could say, oh, well, because it would make my life a little easier in certain areas, I want to have legs because I can wear shoes because I freaking love shoes. I would be broke if I could wear shoes. Let's put it that way.
Hey, it's good. You've got a lot of money now. You save a lot of money.
Right? Save so much money. You know, I could say that, but at the end of the day, like, no way. I mean, because it would be rooted in total selfishness. Mm-hmm. And what's more important, like, having those things that don't matter at the end of the day, no one's going to say anything about that at your funeral.
Right.
Plus, you had great shoes and you had great legs and, okay, great. No. That's not what anyone, I hope that's not what people want when they die. You know, it's like, it's far more important that I can reach and touch people and hopefully change lives just through sharing my story. Cause that's the purpose. Like, it's meant to be shared my whole life. My parents are totally the heroes of this book. My faith is the hero of this book. My community, my teachers, all the people that have poured in, you know, that's the point. That's, you know, is to continue to be humbled by that and give light where all these people have given light and love to me. And I mean, it's made me who I am. And so, no, I can't say that I'd rather have legs because it would forfeit all the amazing goodness that I'm able to do for people.
Yeah. this, I asked Kyle Maynard, who's born without arms and legs, the same thing, and he was like, dude, my life would be probably boring and average. He's like, I live such an incredible life because of the way I was born, and I get to see so many things and touch so many people in a powerful way. And I don't feel, you know, he's able to do everything he wants to do. And he says, like, I just worked hard. I wouldn't have had such an amazing life with, you know, legs and arms. Mm-hmm. So just a Nike commercial, you know, he's constantly doing cool stuff, things he want to do.
He's awesome. Yeah. I love Kyle.
Yeah.
He's so, a cool guy.
That's cool. Final few questions for you. And I want to make sure people go get the book. Everything is possible. Finding the faith and courage to follow your dreams. Make sure you guys pick this up. It's out right now. Get it. Share it with your friends. Be inspired. What are you grateful for in your life recently?
Oh, I have a lot to be grateful for. Seeing the support from this book, people just coming out of the woodwork, supporting it, posting left and right, reposting. It's just like, wow. And then hearing people's feedback from how they're touched.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. And again, people are pulling in such different directions from how they were inspired. It was like, oh my gosh, that's what I wanted for this book. And then when you see it happening and you hear people like pouring into you and telling you, giving you these, you know, reviews and the feedback and like, oh my gosh, like my life was changed. And it's just like, this is unbelievable.
Sure.
I'm not even 30, you know? I mean, that just blows my mind.
Thank you. It's really cool.
Thank you.
You have really strong hands, too. I think hopefully afterwards we're going to do some handstands together. So.
Well, I'm an aerialist. I hold my life in my hands. You have to better hold yourself have strong hands. Right? Yes.
We feel so, so strong. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It happens. It's amazing. Do you ever walk on your hands?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Really?
Yep. When I'm in the gym 5 days a week, like a conventional gym, not an aerial gym.
Yeah.
And so I don't use my chair when I'm, you know, I park it and then I go do my thing and
you walk around with your hands.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I grew up. Like, my chair never was in my house. So it just, that was so normal for me.
Yeah.
It's easier.
It's just it is.
Much easier. Yeah. Like, this is kind of annoying sometimes. The chair is annoying.
Sure.
But it's kind of like shoes. Maybe like flip-flops is the best example. You just kind of kick them on and off when you need them.
Sure.
That's sort of how I use a chair.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you live, where do you live? You live, I mean, you live by yourself. You can do everything on your own.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, for 10 years. So I was 19, yeah.
Live on your own?
Yeah.
Own apartment?
Yeah, I mean, I've had roommates and stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean.
That's cool. When you were 19, you left?
I did. I moved to Orlando when I was 19.
Wow.
Yeah. Just, I've always been very independent.
That's cool.
Kind of always knew a small town really wasn't where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful I grew up there, but I just wasn't happy.
You wanted more.
I wanted more. Yeah.
God, what is that about?
Right.
I can't just be happy, you know, in a small town.
Small town.
I love going back home. I love going back and like being there and just kind of like chilling.
I do too.
People are so good, you know.
It is like the minute I land, I'm like, oh.
It's relaxing, right?
It's
so peaceful. It's calm.
It's slow. It's calm.
The chaos here is a little nuts sometimes with the traffic, right?
Oh. That's just
you know, the reason why I started this podcast was because of traffic in L.A. I moved here and I was driving around, I think on the 10 or something, one day to get to the gym or wherever. And I remember being like, man, I'm just frustrated with this traffic. I'm not used to this. And I saw everyone else around me frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is not the way we should be living. Like, what if I could create something for people who are in traffic all the time, all around the world, who are frustrated and give them some inspiration or education, on how to, you know, move through this frustration. So that's how the first idea of School of Greatness just started. Yeah.
I like that.
It's L.A. traffic.
Okay.
So,
well, good. See, something
the adversity
out of it.
Brings the positivity. Yes, exactly.
There you go.
This is one of the final few questions. This is called the Three Truths.
Okay.
Three Truths. It's many years from now, your last day here on Earth, and everything you've ever created is erased. Videos, books, it's all gone for whatever reason. And you've done everything you wanted to do. Your whole family, you got your kids there, you got your adopted kids, you got your biological kids, you got the man of your dreams, everyone's there. And they say, but we don't have anything that you put out. All your books are gone for whatever reason. But here's a piece of paper and a pen. You write down your three truths, the three things you know to be true about everything you've experienced in life that you would want to pass on to us.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say are your three truths?
Well, I would say focus on today and not any further. don't go any further on your day-to-day life. Love freely. And there's way more than three. Oh, yeah. Love freely and always be humble.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, there's many more, but
sure.
Those are the three that came up.
Okay. Cool. I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Jen, for your incredible courage and inspiration, for being yourself, because I think so many people in this world aren't themselves. Mm-hmm. As simple as it may sound, there are so many people that don't show up as their true authentic selves every single day. And growing up the way you did, with the challenges you had, to know that you are strong, loving, joyful, and fulfilled in who you are is really inspiring to me, and I know to so many people. So I acknowledge you for that. I acknowledge you for sharing your story. I acknowledge you for your incredible heart, your joy, your love, your laughter. It's all incredible. So I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Where can we connect with you online? Where should we go to see you the most online?
Okay. Well, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, mm-hmm. All Jen Bricker. And my website is jenbricker.com.
Okay.
And you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, everywhere, anywhere, my website, all of it. So yeah. You can keep awesome. Up to date the best way on all my social media.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And is there anything you want to share before I ask the final question?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Ooh, my definition of greatness. Greatness can be many things. I'm huge on authenticity. So I think living a life of authenticity every day is very great. I think there's a lot of greatness in that because that can be a lifetime battle for a lot of people, or an everyday battle. And so I think challenging yourself every day to be authentic and push yourself outside your comfort zone and be vulnerable. Those are some big definitions of greatness that I would say.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That is right. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I loved connecting with Jen. And if you want to see us do some handstands together where Jen does handstand on my hands in the air and see what she does, it's super inspiring. We took a lot of photos, a lot of video. Go back to lewishouse.com/383 to watch the full video behind the scenes. And you're going to see how inspiring Jen actually is. If you enjoyed this, let me know what you think. Again, we have incredible content over on youtube.com/lewishouse. Become a subscriber there, guys. We are producing some amazing stuff there. All the people that find out about it are like, wow, I wish I was listening to this and watching this over a year ago when you started posting this content. So go check out the content there. We're almost at 100,000 subscribers. It's been growing like crazy. And also leave a comment either at the YouTube channel, on the blog, over on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you find works best for you. Leave a comment. Connect with me at Lewis House. I'm at Lewis House everywhere online. And with that, guys, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.